Couple of other things I'd like to mention. I am going to be very happy to see Reverend Thomas Netzel this coming week back from his European trip with his parents and others. We've really missed his help here, but he will be here all the way till ordination. And we look forward to September 29th when he and Reverend Richard Lorisella, and I believe one other deacon will be ordained priests. So anyway, really looking forward to Reverend Thomas's Netzel's help when he returns this coming week. Also, I wanted to call your attention to a flyer on the bulletin board downstairs. There is a couple that from Our Lady of Guadalupe Parish, you'll see their names there, who are trying to adopt. And unfortunately, it's very expensive to adopt children these days. And in order to help raise funds, they have to assist a widow in helping her to fix up her house. And they're actually going to have this work party on this Saturday. So I'm not asking you to not attend the sister's vow ceremony, but after that, if you're able to help them with this endeavor, you can get the information you need from the flyer downstairs. The idea here is if they help, that they will be given some kind of funding that will go towards their adoption costs that they incur. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. Henceforth thou shalt catch men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left all and followed him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. Venerable religious and dear parishioners, today's gospel is the gospel of vocation. For Peter, while his name hadn't been changed yet, that would come later. When Simon and his brother Andrew and James and John, sons of Zebedee, they had just had an amazing catch of fish after a night of fruitless effort. "Lord, we have fished all night and caught nothing. But at thy word, I will lower the net." And look what happened. They nearly sank two boats. Do you see the difference? What a powerful lesson for us in life. So often we have to do many things, difficult things, challenges, and we try, and the success doesn't seem to be there. Are we praying? Are we invoking God's help? And that will make that kind of difference that it made for the apostles. No matter what our vocation in life, remember, without our Lord, we cannot do anything. We need his help for everything. However, even though they had this successful catch, it was also the day for them to leave it all behind. Isn't that amazing? I mean, other people were noticing this. Other fishermen saw this amazing catch, and then how befuddled they must have been, how shocked that these four men would walk away from all of it. But that was the day. Our Lord had helped them to be successful fishermen for that day. But it was also the day to say, "We're leaving it all to follow thee." So as we think of what vocation is, just as the apostles were called to become apostles and to become spiritual fathers, because that's what the priesthood is, remember that everyone is called to a particular vocation. If someone becomes a priest, it's because God called him to it. If he becomes a religious brother, it's because God called him to it. If a young lady becomes a religious sister, God called her to that. If somebody gets married, and of course we know the majority are called to this vocation, God called you to that vocation, to that walk of life. And even if you're single, even that is a vocation. Vocation comes from the Latin word voco, which means I call. So it's not just completely up to us what we want to do in life. God has already planned something for us, and his plan is better than ours. And he calls us to a vocation. And that is something that we can always fall back on for reassurance and strength and encouragement. I was called to this. There are difficult times in every walk of life. And even for the apostles, of course they had their difficult times, but what did they fall back on? I was called to this. So we take strength from that. I know I have often reflected on that in the difficult times that I had in my own vocation. I remember what Jesus said to the apostles, "You have not chosen me, I have chosen you." So once you let that thought come to mind, you say, well, of course I need to keep doing it. Of course I can. Of course I will. I'm relying on him. He made the call. And can we be happy doing something other than what God has called us to? We can't. We have to be where God wants us to be. So as we reflect again on the priestly vocation, the religious vocation, the married vocation, the single vocation, we realize God's part being, or God playing a part in all of that. And today I wanted to reflect, of course, on the vocation of fatherhood, which is from entering the married state. What an amazing call, because for all eternity, fatherhood has existed in God. Remember, there never was a time where God, where the Father began to beget the Son and the Holy Ghost began to proceed from the Father and the Son. It was always going on eternally, and it's eternally going to keep on going, keep going in progress, or it's continuing to happen. With God, there is no time. There's the eternal now. And fathers, by being who you are, as husbands, as fathers of children, you are getting to participate in this eternal fatherhood of God. And God is a father. Remember how Jesus taught us to pray, one of the most familiar prayers of all time, the perfect prayer. It's in the Mass and it's in the daily rosary. Our Father who art in heaven. So there's a comparison. There's a certain way in which you can model or imitate the fatherhood of God in a unique way that no one else can. One of the things that fathers are called to is leadership. And leadership in prayer. And I want to just reflect on this for a few minutes, how important that is. How a father's prayer life, and I really mean that, a prayer life, not just, you know, occasionally saying a prayer here or there, but a real habitual, quality in the Father's daily life, his prayer life. It is so important for fathers to lead the family in prayer. And a perfect opportunity for that is, of course, the daily rosary. It does so much good. It is so critical. It's so important. When a father says, time to pray the rosary, and he leads the family in prayer, he's leading his family to God by doing that. And just as, I remember having a conversation, I've told you about it before, where, and it was such a spiritual insight for me. I was talking to a married couple in Boston. I just happened to be having mass circuit there that Sunday, and she made a comment, probably meaning it in an offhand way, but I found it very instructive. She said, you know, just like God has a plan for our life, the devil has a plan for our life too. The devil has a plan for your family. And it's obviously for the spiritual ruination of your family. He has a plan. And I firmly believe that part of that plan, the devil's plan, is for the family to not pray together. The devil knows how much a family needs those graces. The devil knows how powerful it is when the father leads his family in prayer, shares his prayer life with his family, and he will do anything to help make it not happen. It's a temptation that has to be fought. Prayer is even more important than eating or other family activity. So, again, share your prayer life. And I believe this is also a big part of vocations to the priesthood and the religious life. After all, priests and religious spend a lot of time in prayer. It's part of their vocation. They give their lives to God, so they need to spend lots of time with God in prayer because they've given their lives to him. But again, the foundation is laid early on. I can certainly say for my father, he certainly had a robust, powerful spiritual life. He and my mother, they valued not just Sunday Mass, but even daily Mass, getting to it whenever they could. And of course, daily rosary. They belonged to, well, at that time we called it the Third Order. We call it now Confraternity of Mary Immaculate Queen. And so often I remember my parents praying the daily prayers, the little office of the Immaculate Conception. They liked to pray it in Latin, interestingly, instead of English. I guess they could have prayed it in Lithuanian because our prayers were in that language, of course, so we spoke that way. But on this day, on this Father's Day, so what are we doing? We are not just thanking our fathers individually, and for those that have suffered the passing, the death of our fathers, we lovingly remember him in our prayers, and we honor him. It's not just that thanks and honoring of fathers individually for all that they do, all the sacrificing they do, and the love they give to the family, to the wife, to the children, but also we're honoring the very institution. Fatherhood is an institution. And where does it come from? It's been eternally existing in God. And so, a happy Father's Day. Be assured, dads, of my special prayers and thoughts for you. And I ask you to pray for all priests. And brothers, even religious brothers in a lesser extent, we're called to that spiritual fatherhood. In an analogous but very real way, we do spiritually what fathers would do in the natural order. So again, let us thank God for fatherhood. And again, we are going to be praising and honoring God the Father, the fatherhood of God itself. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.